Father in heaven, again, we thank you. We have the great privilege of looking into your word to receive instruction from you. And we ask, Father, that you would make your word plain to us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would understand your word and thus find greater meaning and purpose for our own existence in this world. Bless us to that end. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. It wasn't too long ago that my family and I were visiting in a church. I was preaching there, and we were visiting in the Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher began the class by asking the question, "What is the chief end or the chief purpose of man?" And there were several blank expressions in the Sunday school class. And finally, he asked me, "Denny, what do you say?" And of course, immediately the answer came to me from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Two great purposes for man's existence are given there: to glorify God and to enjoy him. You know, there's a lot of wondering today. There's a lot of skepticism today. There's a lot of questioning today about the purpose for man's existence. And there are many individuals, perhaps you're one of them, there are many individuals in the world today, in this country today, who are wondering, why am I here? What's my purpose for existence? Well, we've just given you the grand, great, and glorious purpose for your existence: to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 gives us this very plainly. "Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Beginning with the very mundane activities of eating and drinking. Sure, this morning you sat down at the breakfast table to eat and to drink. Now, we're not talking about midnight parties here when we're talking about eating and drinking. We're talking about those very mundane activities that we participate in every day: eating and drinking. When you sit down at the table, the breakfast table, the dinner table, the supper table. And the Apostle Paul tells us that when we sit down to eat, we are to glorify God in our eating. We are to begin there with this very mundane activity and to go on to all of the rest of life to glorify God. "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." If you look with me for a moment at Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, we can begin to put this into a little bit better perspective. Here we find the scene of worship, the scene of worship in heaven. Verse 10 says, "The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created.'" Why does this world exist? Why do you exist in this world? And why does this vast universe around us exist? There's only one reason. It was the good pleasure of God to create this world. It was the good pleasure of God to put you in this world. It was the good pleasure of our God to create this vast universe which surrounds us. It was God's pleasure. "For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created." God's desire was to create this world. Now, that's all the further we can penetrate into the mind and heart of God. What's revealed in Scripture? And it's this fact, this plain fact, which is revealed to us, that God's desire was to create this world. Why? The answer is given to us, I believe, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God's pleasure is that we glorify Him. He created this world. He created you and placed you in this world so that you would glorify Him. He created this great universe which surrounds us for His own glory. Let's look at another text. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Here Paul comes to a great doxology. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. For from Him are all things. Yes, all things, including you and me, are from God. He created us. Yes, He brought us into the world. All things are from God. All things came into being through Him. This is what the text says. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. For from Him and through Him are all things. Look again at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Excuse me. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. All things came into being through Him. Again, Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For from Him and through Him are all things. And then third, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. All things were created by God through His great power for His purposes. Unto God, for God are all things. And then Paul says, to Him be the glory forever. And that's the whole point. To Him be the glory. All things came into being from God. To Him be the glory. All things came into being through God. To Him be the glory. All things came into being for God. To Him be the glory. That's the whole point. In whatever you do, whether it's the mundane activity of eating or drinking, or whether it's a more important activity in your mind of providing for your family, of working on a particular job, glorify God. That's your purpose for existence. And then secondly, there is that great purpose of enjoying God. And I think that this is a purpose which is not emphasized fully enough. Let's turn to the Psalms. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. David, crying out, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And besides Thee I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What do we seek in this life? For what do we seek in this life but enjoyment, blessing? We seek for the good life. And the psalmist says very plainly, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the one who brings joy to living. God is the one who brings enjoyment and blessing into our lives. And so we are to come to Almighty God, and we are to be as the psalmist David. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? No one, only God. And besides Thee, I desire nothing on earth. What is it that you desire more than anything else on the face of this earth? God should be the answer. Why? Because our great purpose is not to enjoy a host of material things. We've been deceived. when we look at the television daily. All we have to do is turn it on. And commercial after commercial portrays for us the deception that we will find ultimate joy in living by buying this product or that product, by enjoying this pleasure or that pleasure. So worldly, so welcome is the theme of a credit card. You give everything to us. So the advertisement for the credit card. But really, it's a deception. Final joy comes from God, and we are to enjoy God. And so the psalmist David says, "My flesh and my heart may fail." And my friends, your flesh and your heart will fail. There's no question about it. One day, you will enter the grave. I will too. I have no doubts about that. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion. You see, my life is not tied to material things in this world. Oh, yes, God has been very good to me. God's been very good to my family. And He has given to us a great number of material things. But the material things of this life are not the things which finally give us joy. God gives us joy. And notice what the psalmist says. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The old saying is, you can't take it with you, and that's right. Naked you came into the world, and naked you shall leave this world. You can't take the material things you've earned in this life with you. But when you pass through the veil into the life to come, God will remain your portion. God will remain your joy. God will remain your blessing. If indeed He is your blessing today. If indeed you make it your priority in this life to enjoy Him. And there's only one way you can enjoy Him. That's to come to Jesus Christ. To confess Him as Lord. And to enter into God's kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Verses 22 and 24. Jesus is praying. He's praying to His Father concerning His disciples. "And the glory which Thou hast given Me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as We are one." What was the great purpose of Jesus' prayer here? Of Jesus' desire? Jesus said He wanted His disciples to be one with the Father, even as He Himself was one with the Father. In other words, Jesus had the desire that the disciples might enjoy God, even as He Himself enjoyed God. Verse 24, "Father, I desire that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, in order that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou didst love Me before the foundation of the world. Father, I desire that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am." Do you realize what that means? Turn with me to John chapter 14. Jesus says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus Christ is preparing a place in glory for those who love the Father, who have trusted Jesus Christ and have said to Jesus Christ, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross to pay the penalty due to me for my sins. And I trust you, and I believe that you are in heaven now preparing a place for me. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about people like you and me who truly trust in Him and see in Him and make it a priority in their lives to glorify God and to enjoy Him above anything else. Yes, here we have the answer, the ultimate answer to the question of meaning and purpose in life. In this life and in the life to come. Here is the objective fact. Here is the eternal truth. What is your great purpose for existence? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The question now is, do you acknowledge this as your great purpose? You see, if you are going to really experience fulfillment in your own life, you must recognize God's stated purpose for your existence. And then you will experience personal meaning and purpose for existence. The fact of the matter is that if you fail to recognize God's stated end for you, God's stated purpose for you, if you fail to recognize this, you're in rebellion against God. And this rebellion brings with it a sense of lostness, a sense of being at loose ends, a questioning your meaning and existence. And so I can only urge you with all of my heart to accept what the Bible has to say is truly your ultimate meaning and purpose in life. To glorify God. To enjoy Him forever. Every human being must accept the fact that his chief end is to bring glory to God. And this means, first of all, that man is to be God-centered, that you are to be God-centered in your living and not self-centered. Work, education, marriage, recreation, all of these things are to be centered around God. These things should not be centered around self. Surely, many of these things we do because we derive pleasure from them. But that's a side effect. The real reason we ought to be engaging in these activities is not because we derive pleasure from them. Truly, the reason we should engage in these activities is to glorify our God. And of course, all of this relates to what we talked about earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, how is it that we may glorify God? Do we add to God's glory? Can this possibly be that we can add to God's glory? No. We cannot make God more glorious than He already is. We cannot add to His glory. But we can declare His glory to others. We can show forth His glory. We can reflect His glory in our own lives. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 19, verse 1. Again, this is a very familiar psalm, but I think it gets across the point. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. The chief end of the heavens is to declare, to show forth the glory of God. When we look at the heavens on a dark, clear night, and those stars are very present. In fact, they seem very close. What do the heavens tell us? Well, if our lives are God-centered, the heavens tell us about God and His glory and His greatness. The heavens cannot help but glorify God. In the same way, men and women and young people and children are given the privilege of glorifying God. And they are given the privilege of desiring to glorify God from their hearts. Here's a very simple way in which we can glorify God. The individual who runs a business and finds that that business is doing quite well, when he's asked about his business, can simply say, "The Lord has been very good to us." To God be the glory, you see. I remember very well visiting with a man in his yard. I was a pastor who had just come to minister in a particular congregation. And so I went to visit this family, and the man was in the yard. And as I recall, he was digging a little trench because he was putting up a light, a gas light in the yard. And he was digging a little trench to lay the gas line. And I said to him, "You must be very grateful to God for all that He's given to you." The man had a fine home and a good job. He turned to me and said, "I want you to know, I've earned myself everything that I have." Do you see the difference? The difference is, on one hand, saying to others, "Yes, the Lord has been very good to us. He has prospered us." And on the other hand, being very self-centered and saying, "What I have, I've earned myself. I deserve the glory." No, God deserves the glory. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Our chief end is to glorify God. And then, too, our chief end is to enjoy Him forever. Yes, this means, again, that our lives are to be God-centered and not self-centered. The highest end of man is not to enjoy himself. And it seems to me, once again, this is the great deception which is set before us in magazine advertisements, in television commercials. The whole emphasis is self-enjoyment. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. But my friends, true joy in life comes through enjoying God and through enjoying His Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 11. The Gospel of John, once again, chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus has been speaking to His disciples and goes on saying, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." God is interested in giving us joy, real joy, not transient joy, but a joy that will last, a joy which is forever. Yes, you can go out and party, and you can drink, and you will experience a transient joy. But in the morning when the hangover comes, the joy has evaporated. What we're talking about here is a joy which is eternal and is forever. John chapter 17, verse 13. But now I come to thee, Jesus praying again, coming to the Father, but now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Jesus was a man full of joy. He knew the joy of the Lord. He understood that the joy of the Lord was his strength. And now he prays that his disciples will experience that same joy. Joy comes from knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. Being fulfilled because you understand your great purpose in life is to glorify God. And great joy is derived from this. It can't really be explained. It must be experienced as you enter into that joy, as you glorify God. And it must be said that this is something which is only for Christians. Only Christians can, in the deepest sense, enjoy God in this life, and only Christians can enjoy God in the life which is to come. Again, we look at John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus Christ is now preparing a place for all those who truly trust in Him unto salvation. And my friend, if you do not trust Jesus Christ as the one who has paid the penalty for your sins, if you do not trust in Him as the doorway into heaven, you had better come to Him now, because that's where joy really can be found. Non-Christians may unknowingly enjoy God, but only Christians can enter into the fullness of joy. And so I challenge you today. I challenge you to understand that your great purpose for existence is this twofold purpose: to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank You that You are the one who gives us real purpose and meaning for living. And I pray that if there is anyone who hears these words, who is wrestling with their purpose for existence, I pray, O God, that You would open their hearts to an understanding of what Your word says in this regard. And I pray, Father, that You give them an understanding of the fact that real purpose for living and real joy in living comes from knowing You. Bless to that end, we pray now in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.